Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Michael Maron? Headphones. He's pointing at the headphones. Oh, this is like charades. It's like Zoom charades. He's saying, I figured it out.
Oh, to hear your dulcet tones once.
Oh, Michael.
Oh, man like Keith.
It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Yeah.
How are you?
I've been addicted. I'm brilliant. I've been addicted to Bubba Tunde.
On
Celebrity. I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here. No spoilers, please.
Okay.
If you've seen last night's. Yeah. So, cat like Dave, dog like Poppy, innit?
Who is he? What's he known for?
He's a friend of Mo Gilligan. Mo, he's a famous black comedian who does a program on television that he has really famous people in, and they do nursery grimes.
Ah, yes.
Have you seen any of the nursery grimes?
I think I know what you're talking about now.
So he gets famous people to sing nursery rhymes in the style of, like, it's like the old Whose Line Is It Anyway? So he kind of says, right, you're going to sing it in the style of, let's say, Whitney Houston, to the sound of I Will Always Love You, and it's going to be Old MacDonald Has a Farm. So it's nursery rhymes, but people can grime it up and they can do whatever they want. But the one I would urge anybody to watch is Jesse J, Old MacDonald's Farm. Okay. Possibly one of the finest pieces of entertainment I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow.
Yeah. It's 3 minutes of your life, people. Get on it.
I'm going to get on it as soon as I'm cutting this short to go and look at it.
So am I going to watch it again?
Babatunde. Comedian.
Yes.
Babatunde Aleshe, is it?
Aleshe, yeah.
Aleshe admits he will be doing a lot of screaming in the jungle as he faces up to his fears of absolutely everything. That's all they say, comedian.
He's been in loads of things. He's been in EastEnders, I mean, the usual sort of stuff, but I think he's been in bigger productions than that. He's quite good.
Good. Yeah. Mike, are you a bit far away from your mic, or is it just me? Have I to turn my volume up?
Oh, maybe it's, how's that? Is that any better? I'm a little bit, I was out last night.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why you were kind of just being nice and quiet. Maybe you're just being quiet. Maybe people like that, Mike. Maybe I just need to calm down.
Maybe. I don't know how to
You can't
stuff.
Really up your mic, but that's fine.
A little bit, I think. Audio. Yeah, microphone is up. I'll pop it up a little bit more. How's that?
Oh, that's lovely, Michael.
Okay, look at that. We are on
absolutely
fire.
Do I sound okay to you, Mike?
You sound fantastic. And you know what? You look really, really good.
Because I slicked my hair back.
Yeah. Look at me. I look like a bag of shit. I literally look like a fucking haystack. Because I put quite a lot of product in my hair last night to sort of keep it down.
Yeah.
I went to Limerick with a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
And I really just got up. And dear listener, it's Sunday the 27th of November at 11:38. I mean, this is fucking teenage carrying on. But I wasn't drinking or anything. I was just shouting because people were very loud.
Were you not drinking?
No, I drove. So I just kind of drove down to Limerick, picked up a guy on the way who, when he got out of my car in Ennis, I don't know why, but he decided to moon me. I mean, mooning was part of the discussion. So, yeah, it was lovely.
Nice to see an old arse every now and then, Mike.
Yeah. Clean and tidy. Yeah.
Unexpected arse. Nothing like it.
Nothing like it.
In Ennis.
Yeah.
Had he had a few drinks, Mike?
Oh, he had. Yes. He had quite the number. It's funny, isn't it, when you go out and you're not drinking and people are drinking. And I'm enjoying that thing more now than ever. And it's taken me this long to realize that if you do go out with people, you can leave at 11 o'clock and only have a couple of drinks. And they still, you know, a fella said to me last night, right, we left a pub to go to a nightclub. And apparently the nightclub had shut the bar, so there was no reason to go into the nightclub. I would have, you know, preferred a little bit of a bop or something, but no, the bar is closed. The bar is closed, lads. We're off here. Right? We all then sort of met in another pub. Texts were flying. Let's go here. Let's go there. Whatever, you know. And in walks the man who turned around from entering the nightclub saying, "Geez, it was great to have a bit of a bop."
So they don't remember, they don't know what's going on.
No.
They don't remember what happened the next day. They'll tell you you're in great form, did a great time. And
yes,
they'll imagine you stayed out all night and they'll only be really thinking of themselves and whatever tomfoolery they were up to. There was a great clip going around Twitter yesterday of, because there's not as much booze at the World Cup and like the English fans would like a drink and maybe a fight, you know, that doesn't seem to be available to them at this current World Cup because what's the country called?
Qatar.
Qatar, they don't like.
Just think of Eric Clapton.
Me guitar. the Qatari people, they don't like the LGBTQ plus community. No. They don't like the booze.
No.
They don't like people fighting either. Hooliganism. Some of those things are good things and some of those things are bad things. But so what the very resourceful English and Welsh fans did, they had a row. They obviously all went to Tenerife to watch some of the matches.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. So there was a big row on the streets. I presume it was Friday night. I don't know, there was some games, maybe Friday, I think Wales and England.
Yeah, Wales lost and England was shit.
And England were just shit. And they're due to play each other as well to see who qualifies ultimately.
Yeah. Wouldn't you love to see Wales beat the living daylights out of them?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't like sport, but it's funny. This whole Qatar thing has done exactly the reverse of what it's supposed to do.
You're supposed to be turned off in disgust at the Qatari people and their ways.
The emir and all those boys are just as bent as fuck, you know. But anyway, listen, I quite like their no fighting on the street thing. I'm not into banning everything.
Obviously. Yeah, I love the religious, the way they treat religion, like, obviously suits them to not be, you know, the LGBTQ plus community, or they're not in favor of that. For some reason, that suits them, even though they're very affectionate people. And I noticed the Saudi footballers, one Saudi footballer got injured and his teammate kissed him gently on the forehead as he lay on the ground. And I thought they're very affectionate. The men are very affectionate people. You'd often see them holding hands.
And,
you know, so it's strange, their aversion. But because everything for everybody, especially religious people, comes down to sex, which is the weirdest thing. Like
it's because the hold that religion has over you, the only thing it can do, it gets into your head, and the only other place you're private is in your bedroom. So they want to control.
They
want to
be.
That.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. Yes, Mike. I never thought about it like that. Yeah. They're obsessed with sex. Like what percentage of your relationship with your wife is sex?
94, maybe.
I would have said 80 myself, but.
Yeah.
But if you think about any relationship...
80 in a good minute.
So I have to record a podcast. Yeah, we can have sex. Jesus, Mike, I have to go. She needs sex again.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very small percentage of every relationship is sex. However long us men like to think we can go for.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just bizarre. Anyway, these, I digress. So these footballers were having a row in Tenerife outside a pub. So English versus Welsh. Some of them were wearing red jerseys. Some of them were wearing white jerseys. Some of them were wearing English jerseys. Some of them were wearing Welsh jerseys. Some people weren't. Nobody knew who anybody was. At one stage, one guy helped a guy get away from two other guys who were battering him. He pulled them away, right? The two of them kind of fell backwards on top of each other. The guy who was helping the guy then picked him up and started battering him because he hadn't got a clue who he was, where he was, and who he was fighting. Yeah. It was the most comical. It was like Benny Hill music underneath the kind of scenario. They were throwing chairs at themselves. They were punching themselves, punching their friends. It was Welsh lads starting on Welsh lads. It was the fun. If it wasn't so serious,
yeah,
it was so funny. They were just so hammered. They just didn't know what was going on.
They go there with such pent up aggression that they just want to, you know, let it all out. They're looking for a, you know, I remember at a certain period in my life, certain friends of mine, you know, if you weren't having a good drink.
Mm.
And a good fight and maybe a quick canoodle at some point, that was not a good night out.
Yeah.
And you managed to screw somebody on a round. Like, I got 6 pints and he paid five. Whee! Sort of thing. That was the whole thing. But a lot of people just keep bringing that, perpetuating that every Saturday night, every football match, everything. You okay there, Keith?
I just noticed that Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah.
Have gone a goal up against Japan. Japan, who beat Germany.
Brilliant.
And were hot favourites to beat Costa Rica today because Costa Rica were absolutely dreadful in their last game. And Costa Rica are a goal up. And there's only, well, we know how these games go. In actual normal time, there's 3 minutes left, but you could add another 11 minutes onto that.
What's that all about? I mean, we never watch football. Nobody has an interest in this house in football. But even Sally Ann was watching like Argentina last night, and I've been sort of quietly almost, I've almost been sort of guilty about watching it because of what everybody does. But then I was listening to the radio the other day, and I heard one of those crystal clear calls that somebody got that just cut through all the fat and all the nonsense and everything. You know. There's a lot of, I mean, I do not support the Qatari thing. I don't support FIFA. I think they're a fucking dredge on humanity. And if anybody has a moment to listen to John Fardy on Screen Time, he talks about there's a new Netflix documentary about FIFA. And I don't know if you've watched it, but it just goes through the whole thing. Since the 70s, it was set up as this sort of like, you know, not-for-profit. You know, it's all about football, introducing football and love and peace. And then all of a sudden they monetized it and they have gone full swerve, full circle on it. But anyway, you know, we knew 12 years ago it was happening in Qatar. We knew what was going to happen. We knew the wheels were going to fall off. We knew that the Qatari regime hates anybody who's not, in their eyes, normal. So that's you know, you just got to put up with it. But one guy in our radio phone in the other day said, I can't remember which program I was listening to, but it was along the lines of, listen, you know, England, we won the cup in 1966. And I'm thinking, oh, fucking hell, here we go. 1966, this English guy's on the radio talking about it. And he said, but did you know, in 1966, homosexuality was banned in England? So we would have been protesting against ourselves. You know?
Mike, Italia 90?
Yes. Was banned here.
It was illegal. Yeah.
I could not believe that. I mean, imagine that.
So you could, I don't know if this is a controversial thing to say, but you could say, well, look at, I am the same as you with FIFA. Like they're just, you know, they've gone, they've jumped the shark a long time ago. But you could say, well, maybe the people of the Middle East might see that the Western ways aren't all bad and, you know, sort of like they might learn something from us. Like, I mean, if you look at what the Royal Family, they're basically in charge of this.
He's looking at the match, listener.
It's 90 minutes are gone. Japan are a goal down. There's been only 6 minutes additional time.
Oh, wow. It's usually about a fortnight.
It's usually like, in this World Cup, teams just like take it easy until the 90th minute and then like really go for it in the final third. the royal family are used to just calling the shots. So they said, no booze in the, you know, they had
stadiums. Yeah.
They made this deal. There was a contract with Budweiser. But this, you know, royal family, who are the royal family for this tiny little place, smaller than Munster, is it?
Yeah, not... it's possibly one of the wealthiest. I mean, there's no poverty.
Yeah.
If you're a Qatari national.
They had to get poor people in to do the building because there wasn't enough poor people in the country. But yeah, just like for them then to sort of maybe they'll have their eyes open that like in this small area, we can do whatever we want. But actually, if we want to open up to the world and be respected in the world, and maybe they felt they were respected because they were wealthy, but wealth does not equal respect. We've seen that with Amazon. We've seen that with Elon Musk, you know, it doesn't.
You can't buy respect.
No. So maybe ultimately it's a good thing. Like England changed. Ireland changed.
Exactly.
In the 90s.
It's funny, you mentioned Amazon and you look at the Amazon in Brazil. And, you know, you speak to somebody who's from Brazil and they're saying, lads, we've got nothing else to export but this wood. You deforested a millennia ago. We're not standing here saying you shouldn't have done that, lads.
Yeah.
You're now planting trees to make up for stuff and you're telling us what we can and can't do. This kind of Western, we're better than everybody else thing also needs a look at. We need to look in the mirror on that. Yes, it's great that the Qatari they won't pay any attention to what happens because it's got so much money they don't really give a shit about anything. So they won't really change their minds. Maybe they will. Maybe there's a little chink of light that they might be more accepting to LGBT stuff and, you know, all sorts of women's rights. I mean, it's terrible. But we also need to know that, you know, we are authoritarian states. We're only in our infancy as sort of democracies, really. And we're only one step away.
Democracy in the UK, I mean, it was only new, what, in the 40s, 50s, 60s? I mean, it was only kind of getting going then, really, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know...
Still, and they've somehow managed to
fuck it up,
you know?
Yeah, completely fuck it up. Democracy has completely fucked England.
Mm.
You know, the Brexit vote completely...
Let's put it to the people.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on.
Put it to the people. We don't want it. Yeah. Fucking idiots. Anyway, there you go.
Let's put it to all the second generation Italians that moved in here and just don't want any more in.
Yeah.
I just don't want any more people coming.
We're full over here. Yeah, well, there's a bit of that happening here now.
Yeah, the Ireland is full thing. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. That is just... scary.
It used to boil my piss in London. We would inevitably end up after a night in Kilburn or whatever, going back to somebody's house, and most of the people there would be Irish, and they're going about, you know, it's fucking terrible. The place is filling up with fucking people from Africa. And I'm sorry, you're from fucking Mayo. You know what I mean? Terrible.
And we were the blacks of Europe.
Absolutely. But we do not, you know, you don't remember stuff that's uncomfortable.
No. And also, do you know this kind of like unvetted men, these unvetted men that are coming into the country?
Oh, yes.
Are you vetted, Mike?
Never been vetted in my life.
I have to get
vetted. I have actually been vetted. Yeah, I've been vetted for, but I have, yeah, but I wasn't vetted to come into the country. No.
but how many people in this country are vetted? But
yeah,
like I have to get vetted because I'm helping out my son's football team.
Yeah.
Most people aren't vetted. This unvetted men thing. And also, this thing of like, oh, they're over here and they're fighting. Nice, you know, that street down there, it's a no-go area because, you know, such and such and such and such and these people from this country are living there and they're always fighting and drinking or whatever they're doing. And they're running, they're bringing over their criminal gangs. And does anybody know what we did when we went to America? Does anybody watch Gangs in New York? Does anybody watch Peaky Blinders? Does anybody watch? We went over there and we knew every scam gone, every bootleg, every black market, we were the criminal gangs. We were as big as the mafia. Like, I mean,
the mafia. Yeah, we were bigger. We were bigger. Much bigger.
Much, and much infiltrated more. higher We went right up to the president. Like we,
and to this, yeah, to this day, you don't hear about the Indian or the Italian vote. You hear about the Irish vote. You know,
like the mafia had Frank Sinatra. We had the president.
There you go. Exactly.
So for people to be saying, we don't know who these people are coming into our country.
Yeah.
And also the, I saw this guy, you know, these guys with tricolors as their, I got into a bit of a row with them. You'll remember on Twitter.
Yes. Yeah.
Fine. I managed to, I was in a bad place. I managed to get my extricate myself out of it. Now I just say what I have to say and I don't get into, it's not a conversation opener.
No.
It's just a statement.
No. Broadcast.
This guy, I sometimes have a look at them because sometimes they're just like 12 followers, first post, you know, trolling. This guy had like a tricolor, he had a good following. He had his name up, you know, father, family man, you know, Irish, proud Irish man. And then some of his posts were like the percentage of Indigenous Irish left. So he was like, you know, it's gone from 80% to 70%. And I'm like, how far back did you go here with this Indigenous Irish? Like after, once the Vikings came in, was it after that did we start? Was it like before that when people came up from Spain? Was it, so where are we starting with this?
Yeah.
You know, and why have we decided this is a starting point? And now, now this is it. Like yeah, it's
The irony of the situation is the birthplace of humanity is pretty much somewhere in Ethiopia. So we're all Ethiopians.
Ultimately.
Yeah. But you've got to take these guys to their logical conclusion, but there is no logical conclusion.
But you can't.
Because they're fucking idiots.
And I did have that row with some guy. I remember saying, what are you, like, where are we starting? And he just, it was just, I had friends ringing me saying, don't engage. I know some of these people, they're bad.
I think I probably liked them on Twitter. Engage with these people. Well, you know what? It does you good, though, to realize that there's people out there who don't, because we can all live in an echo chamber and Twitter is very much like that. Yeah. And a lot of life, whatever media we choose is all sort of, you know, there's lots of people out there who are completely pro Qatari. They're pro anti-homosexual.
Yeah.
If that's such a thing. They're pro male over women's rights.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that goes on.
Yeah. There's people who want to guard the status quo, the patriarchy, men calling the shots, men coming home, having their pipe and slippers handed to them,
nothing wrong with that.
You know, riding whoever they want, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, sure, that's it. Like, have a couple of pints, ride someone. You're grand, like, you know.
Getting the big salaries for doing fuck all. It was very interesting. I put up a post on Twitter saying, like, Ireland's not full, whatever. Don't believe the propaganda. If people are telling you that Ireland is full, you know, do a bit of research, find out why they're saying it, what's in it for them, you know, follow the money, follow the power. These people have an agenda, you know, it's propaganda.
Mm.
And I did put up on Twitter, and you get the usual people on Twitter, and you mostly get support. Like, I mean, most people in Ireland, I don't think a right-wing party, any right-wing party that tried to get involved in the last elections did very badly. I don't even think they got 1%, like, combined. But I put up on Instagram, and very sort of what I would have thought. Like one person who's quite popular on Instagram, into yoga, mindfulness, looking after each other, self-love, has these like gatherings on beaches with people where they light fires and they chant and they do yoga. And, you know, and she puts up these posts saying, wow, we had a wonderful day. All us ladies doing yoga. And she was like, she was disagreeing with me saying, And obviously using all these reasons that you're told, like, look at the health service, look at this child waiting 3 years for their operation. Look at this man can't get a GP in this town. Look at, you know, and all of these things are the reasons why Ireland is full. And you're like, no. Hang on a second. No. Some of the services are broken and they need to be fixed. But it's handy for the government or whoever for you to think that the problem is Ukrainians coming into this country or people coming from the Middle East or people coming from Afghanistan or people coming from, they're the problem, not focusing on the problem and forcing the government to do better. Ireland is full. We're full. We need to look after our own first. What about the homelessness?
Like, but they're gaslit. They're not going to help homeless people though. They're not going to go out of their way and sort of start feeding people who are on the streets and get to the bottom of that problem.
Mm.
They don't want to see that. It's like, no, we look after our own. Until,
Mike, there's a big homeless, you know.
Yes.
Until it's your estate, and they say, you see, we're building this big block of apartments, and this will house all the homeless in the town, in your city, and it's just going to be there in your estate there, and then you'll see.
Yeah. The middle class is fucking lip.
How much they want to help their own.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Let's open a needle bank. No, let's not.
Mm.
Oh, fuck no. Don't want any druggies around here. I really support the homeless at Christmas, though. Don't want to see anybody dying.
Well, I support the homeless now. I don't give them money because they'll only spend the money on drugs and drink. So what I do is I buy them a sandwich and I'll buy them a coffee because they don't want a sandwich and a coffee. They're homeless because they're addicted. They need money to buy drugs. That's their issue. Nobody's going to tell you not to have your cup of coffee or your latte or your whatever or your painkillers or your glass of Prosecco at the weekend. Like, stop telling these people how to... anyway, look.
I know. Imelda May talks about that quite...
Who?
Imelda May.
Oh, yeah.
In London. She used to pass this guy and buy him a tuna sandwich. And something along the way, I'm paraphrasing heavily now, and he was like, I don't fucking like tuna, you know. And she sat down and had a chat with him. I just want money for what I want money for. I don't want tuna fucking sandwiches. And if somebody gives me, I don't really like coffee with sugar in it. It's like, fucking hell, these people are human. He wanted a chat.
Mm.
He had mental health issues.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think he was on drugs or whatever. But she talks about it. I had her on a podcast somewhere. But she was very good. And I'm not a great big fan of hers. But I thought the way she sort of dealt with that was just lovely.
And we need to see, if you see a guy, like there's a couple of guys in Newbridge, and like it's the same people. And they have issues, you know, and they're dealing with their issues by taking drugs because that's how they survive, because that's how they deal with whatever's going on in their head, whatever trauma, whatever's happened to them in their lives. That's their medication. For me, when I need medication, I go to the doctor. I can afford that. I have a house. I can stay in bed for the day to get better. I don't have to take heroin, thankfully. So we just need to see beyond.
Yeah, ultimately, it all leads back to a failure of the state, which is an easy, broad stroke sort of thing. But it is. It's a lack of healthcare. It's a lack of mental health services. It's a lack of people protecting people. Be that through the guards or sort of women's or men's shelters or whatever. There's a failure. And that failure of the state hasn't been caused by an Armenian chap turning up who wants to earn a living and pay tax.
Mm-hmm.
That he wants to be positive in this society. He doesn't want to be a fucking, you know, a drain. He's there. He's active. He fucking wants to go for it. He's like we were in the 50s, my parents when they went to England. They wanted to go there and build roads and work shitty conditions and didn't give a flying fuck what they were on. Whereas, you know, your normal sort of worker here is going, no. I want 8.5 hours a day. I want a paid lunch. I want this. I want that. I want the other. What we don't like is the thought of some other person coming in and undercutting us.
Mm.
It's all, you know, and it's, we've been gaslit by every government. No government wants to fix. No government can fix everything. And that's the problem. They're not magicians. We know them. Most of them are in it for themselves. You know, I heard, again, another great philosopher talking about, you know, you don't want to vote for somebody who wants to be voted for.
That's the problem with politics.
Yeah. In a nutshell, I want the power. I want it. I want to make your life better. Whereas in actual fact, they're saying, I want to make my life better and I want to be powerful. And they're the wrong type of people to hand shit to. It's all very fucking confusing.
Very confusing. But ultimately, and it's not like I can't fix it, Mike. You can't fix it.
Nope.
It doesn't mean we can't do anything.
Absolutely.
The very least we can do is be compassionate and Christian. In inverted commas, just compassionate and look beyond the propaganda, look beyond
I would actually take Christian out of it, because the Christian thing is all about patriarchy and keeping women down. Just that's just.
Do you think that's Christianity, or do you think it's Catholicism?
I think it's Christianity. You know, this whole sort of unit of, you know, you think of all the Christian faiths. It's all man, woman, baby. You know, You know, it's a very kind of classical sort of thing. Keep everybody down. Keep everybody, you know, sort of.
I need to revisit my use of the word Christian then.
Well, so, people say Christian values are something that we recognize as being, you know, the Ten Commandments and whatever. But I don't see the Pope or the Church of England or Methodists or anything doing things that are just good. They're not out there practicing what they preach. None of them are.
Yeah, you do get individuals. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Absolutely, you do.
But they're a rarity.
They should be social workers. And why join a club that still uses their money to shore up allegations of whatever? You can look at the paper scene now at the moment. They've just had a big clean out of their bank. They've sacked everybody for misogyny, sexual, you know. Wasn't affected. They were very quick to say, we're not affected, guys, because there's apparently millions of people working for the Catholic Church, giving Christian aid to various countries. And that goes through a bank, which there's a little bit siphoned off for this, a little bit siphoned off for that, a little bit siphoned off for the other. And people were siphoning and people were doing stuff and people were getting power hungry and money, money, money. And it's all gone wallop. And that, I think the Pope has this week sacked pretty much the chairman of the board, some geezer, and a load of other people, and said, no, we don't want this. Every time they get caught, it's, oh, no, forgive us. Forgiveness, that's another one that really boils my fucking piss. Fuck them.
I would say at this point, no charities mentioned in this conversation have done anything wrong.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. The there were statements during the week about the Irish Associated thing, and they were absolutely in the clear, perfectly in the clear.
But I have to review my use of the word Christian, but just compassion. Just stop thinking about self all the time. I mean, I spend a lot of my time thinking about myself.
You do, of course you do. You're a well-groomed man. That takes a lot of time. That's a lot of me time, but that's okay.
Yeah, but I think it's helped me. I think it's helped me be more compassionate. It's funny, the more you think about yourself and the more work you kind of do on yourself, the easier it is to see other people and kind of what they're going through, I feel. Now, obviously, I would say that about myself because I think I'm a great guy. But it's true. Like, if you're not, like, I think, especially men in this day and age, if we take the responsibility to just look after ourselves, work on ourselves, do the work, therapy, whatever it is you need to do, you know, ultimately, if every man did that, the world would be a better place.
Yeah, you just have to, we need to drop ideas into people's heads. I mean, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the
imagination. You're pretty close, Mike, come on.
Yeah, 97.2%, but, you know, on the last, UCOV poll, but...
It was like Mike is almost perfect. And I have to say, you're giving out, you were saying you weren't looking. I think you're looking well, Mike. I think the longer hair suits you.
It doesn't. The headphones are sort of, they're hiding a whole host of stuff. What the fuck happened to barbershops? They were 10 quid, right, for a cut for years, right? Yeah. Then it was $12.50 for a while. And now, because there's a fucking war in Ukraine, I mean, you know, it's 25 fucking quid.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You need more compassion for the hairstylists.
Fuck the compassion.
I've always paid at least €20 for my haircut. So,
yeah. Well, you know, you look that good. Yeah.
You look that gullible. You've noticed most hairdressers and barbershops have big windows.
Do they not do anything about the receding forehead?
No, I need, that would have to be a trip to Turkey or something, I think.
No, I think it looks good. I think it really looks good on you, actually. You're a bit, you're not like, it's not a bit, you haven't got a big forehead. You're not like man like ant or man like dick.
Man like
ant. Man like ant and dick.
Oh my God. Mike.
Yeah.
My news.
Yes.
I have a bit of news.
You have lots of news. Now, I didn't know whether I could ask you about your news, and I don't even know what news you're going to tell me, but go on.
This, we haven't recorded in a long time. I feel like it's because of my news, of my exploration of myself, of what's been going on.
I should put clicks on everything, or a little tick every time you say something that I agree with now, that is one of your traits. Yeah, here we go. We go ding. Yeah.
I'm not the best. I'm not the most consistent person, let's just say.
I don't know.
With certain
you're giving
things.
Yourself a hard time, but that's just,
yeah, with certain things sometimes. So yeah, I recently got I mention that I was looking into it. I think I did.
You did?
Yeah. So I got a diagnosis from a psychiatrist, so it's official. It's official. I have a thing called ADHD, which is hyperactivity, attention.
What does it actually stand for?
Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So you have a deficit in your ability to focus and give something your full attention. And that's down to a lack of dopamine. So we don't produce as much dopamine as other people. So we don't really get as much joy from things. So our brain is always looking for dopamine. So a lot of people with ADHD are thrill seekers. Something like 80% of the prison population have ADHD. We're always looking. We can't focus on something because if it doesn't give us dopamine or a buzz, we find it incredibly difficult to complete that task or to even start it. And that's where the procrastination comes in and putting things off. We're not very good at timekeeping.
Oh.
Because our concept of time is slightly warped. So we always think we've loads of time. So like I would often say to my wife, I'll just go out and do X, Y, blah, blah, blah. And she said, but we have to be in such and such at 6 o'clock. And I'm like, yeah, it's all time. So it's half five. I'm like, oh yeah. Okay. Does that mean I won't get it done? Yes, you definitely won't get it done. You're not going anywhere. Go and have a shower. We're going out, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm only sort of retrospectively like looking back on my, I'm sure you could have diagnosed me, Michael.
I'm fucking right, I could have.
From trying to record a podcast with me every week. I'm sure many of my friends and people I've met down through the years could have diagnosed me. But yeah, so it's a lack of dopamine. And then a weird relationship with time, concept of time. And then the hyperactivity, people have said to me since I got the diagnosis, because people like to meet you in the street and say, oh, sure, we all have something. Just look at
it. Yeah.
We all have a bit of something, haven't we? Which is fine. We all do have a bit of something. But then most people would say, oh, are you sure you have ADHD? You seem very calm. So the hyperactivity part can be physical. And with young boys, it can be a sort of a physical hyperactivity. But that hyperactivity, physical hyperactivity, generally comes from a hyperactive mind. So in my case, it's a hyperactive mind. My mind is all over the place, a constant dialogue going on, constant anxiety, worry, solving, resolving, tangents, all that kind of stuff. And that doesn't help with the focusing and the attention stuff either, And also it tends to create an anxious mind as well, because you're constantly worrying about things, not doing things because you're worried about the outcome. And not doing things because you're worried about a negative outcome, already deciding the negative outcome before you even try it, before you even start. And then there's this whole issue about not doing something because if it's not perfect, you're not happy, So
what's the point? Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of shit kind of comes with this ADHD thing. Now I take medication.
Okay.
So that doesn't explain how we
it's not fucking working.
Which helps me focus. And I know, Mike, this is going to be a difficult thing for me to say, but it helps me focus on the things I need to get done. So I get the things I need to get done.
Right. Yeah.
And some things which you don't like my day job, I have to get that done. I have to do that well. Things I get paid for that pay the mortgage, I have to get them done. I have to, you know, things like say for instance, this podcast is a luxury. I love doing it.
Absolutely, yeah. It's great. I understand that. But it doesn't. It's not as important as family time. It's not as important as getting your job. There's got to be a list of priorities, which most, I'm thinking, I'm not going to use the word normal, but most sort of standard people, who don't have ADHD, sort
neurotypical.
Neurotypical. There you go. That's a great. I knew you'd have a word for it. So, they would see a list of priorities. Got to get shit done, and then the rest of the time is sort of happy time.
Yeah.
But you, your concept of all of that was in one big tombola and whatever flicked out at the time.
Yeah, so like,
oh,
like,
I do that.
Yeah, but even like last weekend, we were going to record and I said, look, we're going to Dundrum. It's, you know, it's a surprise Dundrum visit. You know, I possibly
the vision of you being kidnapped and taken to Dundrum.
I possibly was told about it. But also, I think before I would have said, oh, no, I have to record a podcast. Whereas now I'm like, actually, you know, that's kind of, that's important that I go to Dundrum with my wife and my son and hang out with them. And actually, whereas I wouldn't have gotten the dopamine from that before. So that would have been like, oh my God, that's hell for me. It was actually quite enjoyable to go to a shopping center, places I don't enjoy being. Lots of people don't enjoy being in the shopping center.
But no, but are you looking through the world now in different eyes?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I feel differently. I look forward to getting up every day. I didn't realize I didn't.
Right.
I would never have said I was depressed, but there seems now looking back that there was no real kind of joy. I never really got excited about things. Everything was grand. And I know I spoke about this stuff with regard to mental health and all that. And I definitely think that mental health and therapy and all that kind of definitely helps as well, you know, because it always helps to reflect. And I'm very conscious now, Mike, that hyper-focusing on something is a thing, is a trait as well. And now I'm hyper-focusing on this. And I've always hyper-focused on myself and my well-being and my health and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, but...
But you're not hyper-focused. At the moment, you're not hyper-focused. You're telling me the story, which I think you're quite entitled to do.
Thank you, Mike. So I feel... My priorities are different. Things are different. I feel, So I look forward to getting up each day. I get tasks done. I accomplish things. And it's like the medication will get you so far, but actually it's the completion of tasks and getting jobs done and doing kind of, say, well in work or whatever it is you're doing. That gives you the dopamine, really. And that certainly gives you more dopamine. So you're kind of almost like,
so is the sense of fulfillment a kind of a dopamine rush for you then? The reason that you're the thing that you're getting tasks done, you're allocating yourself to do something, getting over the finish line is like, yes.
Getting it done, not worrying about the outcome like I find it very hard to, like in my job, I write a lot of things or I create or I come up with ideas and I always worried about sending something I'd written to somebody. What about the negative feedback? And then they're gonna. I wanted it to be sent, job done, perfect. Don't come back to me about that.
Yeah. That's not life, though.
Doesn't work like that.
No.
We're very bad at feedback. Very bad at criticism. And the other thing is, we're very hypersensitive. So, you know, any feedback is seen as negative feedback. Any advice is seen as negative. You know, we get very 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 sensitive. So like it's. Yeah, it's really been an eye-opener, a revelation.
There are lots of things I see in that little bits that hit me and hit other people I know. You know what I mean? I'm recognizing sort of traits now in other people that, and I'm sure there are gradations of ADHD. I mean, you can be, is it like a...
Yeah, I think you can have, there's a spectrum, I suppose, and then you can have it, it can be very... more severe, high functioning is a word that people use. So you can be high functioning. Another part of my condition is a thing called autism.
Okay.
ASD, which is autism spectrum disorder.
I don't. You know what I don't like is the word disorder.
That needs to change. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does. It does. Because I think it's you know, if you're in a fragile state and somebody told you you've got a disorder, I mean, oh, fuck me, I'm broken. But you're not.
Yeah, it's a different order, maybe. So autism is a neurodevelopmental disorder associated with atypical functioning and qualitative impairments in individuals across three major areas, namely social interaction, social communication, and restricted repetitive behavior. Men who present with milder symptoms of ASD, autism spectrum disorder, may be missed or misdiagnosed during childhood. So, diagnosis of ASD also is associated with higher risk of experiencing depression, anxiety, and suicidal issues, where you find it hard to make friends and prefer to be on your own. And also, it's very hard to say how you're feeling because you're not really, you actually don't know. If someone asks you, how are you? You actually don't know.
Grand.
And then you can appear blunt or rude or not interested in others without meaning to. So that's kind of another part of it. Some doctors would believe that ADHD and autism go hand in hand. There's people out there who don't believe that.
And what do you think?
I'm not sure. Like, this is, I mean, I went to see a psychiatrist and it was like talking to a fortune teller. He knew so much about me with so little information, you know.
He did the little bings, did he?
Yeah. But he just knew, like, I had a consultation with one guy and then I went to his kind of higher upper guy the next time and he just had the notes in front of him, but he was telling me so much. It actually blew me. It was mind blown what he knew about.
Wow.
Me. And part of my condition, my personal condition, so you're talking ADHD, autism. And the autism is high functioning, so it wouldn't be noticed, you know. I was able to go to school and college and have a job and have, you know.
Now, are you dyslexic?
I don't think so, but there are elements of it with me. Like I often get things wrong. Words, fairly simple, straightforward words. But I think in school we worked very hard on things like spelling. You know, to the point that you'd be beaten if you weren't, you didn't get your spellings right, you know. So I'm not sure, but even to this day, I have to look up words.
Yeah, that was a very Christian
way of
dealing
with spelling.
Dyslexia.
Dyslexia.
Beat the shit out of children. Yeah.
and then there's this other thing. I don't know what the term for it, but it's called free floating anxiety. There's another medical term called GSD. I don't know what it is.
But is there a D in it?
It's got to be a D in it.
Yeah, of course there is. Yeah.
Free floating anxiety, which is an anxiety that, like, I now realize I was always at a certain level anxiety wise, constantly. But then of late, and I spoke to you about it, I was starting to have panic attacks. I had a panic attack on stage during a play, you know, that I wrote. And someone might say, well, obviously there's anxiety. You're on a stage. You're in front of all these people. But I'd rehearsed for this play. I learned the lines. I'd already done it in front of people. I had a panic attack, you know, three nights in where I hadn't had one, two. Like, I wasn't in a place. I mean, obviously, everyone should get nerves before doing something like this. And then it's a nervous energy, which you convert into, you know, a good performance. But these panic attacks were landing.
Bang.
From, as if from nowhere, you know, kind of. Yeah. I mean, and I've spoken to people since who would, like, say, I've had panic attacks on a bus. But it's a free-floating anxiety that will just land on you. You're not in a dangerous, you're not in a fight-or-flight situation, and you're having this high-level anxiety, panic attack.
It's the first term you've used that I can actually identify with, that free-floating anxiety. It's like a cloud hanging over you, and all of a sudden it just drops.
And
all of a sudden, fuck me, you're engulfed in anxious.
And there's a secondary and tertiary, because if you experience a panic attack in a certain place, if you're going to put yourself in that situation again in the near future, like in 2 days' time, if you do a radio show or if you do a TV show, 3 days out, you're going,
am I going to have a panic attack? Yeah.
And that's anxiety. So there's, so you're constantly in a cycle of thinking about times And obviously the hyperactive mind.
Yeah.
You're constantly thinking about
fueling those. It's like coal onto the anxiety. It is. It's the fire of anxiety. Yeah. Fuck's sake.
So this free-floating anxiety was the thing that sort of I've had all the time. And even though I worked in radio, I suppose I figured out a way of dealing with it.
Yep.
But, you know, I probably didn't become a shiny floor television presenter because I couldn't quite get beyond, you know, I couldn't quite get to the comfort levels needed for a viewer to see that this person is clearly very comfortable in the situation. You know?
Or you could have self-medicated, which is what I'm sure a lot of people would have done to get through that situation.
That's the other thing. People do self-medicate. And I know people who have a drink.
Of course you do, yeah.
Whatever. I always say they should drug test presenters, because it's like the Olympics. You know, if you're making a living out of that, and I'm not taking drugs, but you are, and you're doing well.
Yeah, it's unfair. It's the Russians.
So best thing ever happened to me in my life, obviously, was my wife and children, but meeting this psychiatrist, talking to me like a fortune teller, telling me everything about my life, parents, my past, my future, my everything. Like, this guy just knew everything. This guy was looking at things. He said, put your hands down on the table. You see this, you see this, you see this. You see the way it's white between your knuckles. That's because vitamin C only makes as far as that knuckle in a cat. Like, there's physical attributes. He said, if you put an ADHD brain.
And now everybody who's listening to this is looking at their knuckles. I'm going to look at my knuckles.
Are your hands white? Or is this part of your hands white?
No.
So basically, your vitamin D.
Are they?
I don't think so. Maybe a little.
A bit pudgy.
Mike, you could have ADHD. Anyway, he was saying there's physical signs, you know, and he could look at somebody and say that person is ADHD just by looking at their face or whatever.
Fuck.
So anyway, so had a good chat with this guy. He said, this is what we're going to do. You're going to take this medication. And they said, and then from next week, you're going to start on this medication and you're going to take that for a year. And that's going to deal with the anxiety. And then after that year, you will have naturally, your lifestyle will have changed to the point that you won't need that medication anymore, but you won't have, the anxiety will be gone. He said, obviously you'll get nervous and you'll have stress, you'll have anxiety, but just normal stress, anxiety, like, you know, when you need it, not all the time for no reason. So that's the plan.
Is there, like, again, there's a spectrum of feelings, I'm sure.
Like, I've got ADHD. I don't know how I feel.
Is there a sadness? Is there relief? Is there happiness? Is there?
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of like, it's still early days, but there's like mostly happiness, and I'm really excited about the future.
And you never were.
No, I really, like, I didn't realize how much I, like, people talk about the Sunday fear or talk like that was all the time, you know. I really didn't look forward to the next day, whatever it was, no matter what I was doing ever, you know, everything was kind of filled with anxiety and worry. So if I had to record a radio show, or if I had to do, like, everything had to be carefully planned so that I could do it.
So that was your coping mechanism.
Drinking at the weekend as well, or whenever, like on holiday, like drink is a perfect drug for ADHD, because it just calms the mind, quietens everything. Like, drink allowed me to socialize. It allowed me to sit with my wife of an evening watching a movie. It allowed me to enjoy, you know, 2 weeks away on holidays with the family and just kind of, you know,
relax,
flake out by the pool or whatever. There was other things I probably self-medicated with in my 20s as well that helped. Yeah, I'm just, I probably sound very excited. I'm excited about just kind of not, like, tomorrow's Monday. I, Everything seems a lot clearer. Everything seems a lot more organized. Everything seems a lot more less messy, less chaotic.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing next week and I'm looking forward to it. I have a few things, like some of it's work-related. I never looked forward to anything work-related before. It was always an anxious thing, you know? And I'm much better at planning. Like, my cousin who lives in London, I haven't seen him in a long time. And I just said, oh, such and such has happened. I might come over and stay and blah, blah. And he was like, and normally I do that, but I'd never get around to book. Like, I'd always talk. I was all talk, Mike. It was always all talk. You know that. But like within a couple of hours, I got back to him. I sent him a picture of my ticket that I booked. And he like,
Jesus.
So he messaged me back and he was like, thumbs up to that medication kind of, you know. Because he's known me all my life, and I've been a bit of a flake, really, with him, with relationships.
That's okay. Lots of people are a bit flaky and are sort of non-committal, but that's just their sort of personality. You know, it may not be ADHD, it may not be whatever, but you are. So, I don't want to ask, really. It's a bit personal, but how are your family? Do they notice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. It's pretty stark, you know. Like the medication you take is a stimulant. It's kind of like, you know, drinking strong coffee all day, kind of, you know. Or,
wow, I thought that would be the last thing you want.
And that is the amazing thing, is that the stimulation. So if you have an ADHD, you'd imagine taking something like a lot of caffeine or speed or something like that or whatever.
Yeah, don't give an overactive child Coca-Cola type of thing.
Yeah, amphetamines or something that would have. So the effect that has on most people, neurotypical people, on the ADHD mind, it just calms them. It has the opposite effect. So you can focus, you're alert, you can figure out what you need to do next. You can make plans, you can do your work, you can, you know, finish tasks, create dopamine, all that kind of stuff.
I'm listening to here. I'm thinking, fuck me. I might
you might have to go and do the online test.
Yeah.
Why not? Give it a go.
I have enough fucking disorders.
But a lot of times people are given antidepressants because people are misdiagnosed and the diagnosis is missed, you know? Mm. So it can't, like, I would say I was never depressed. I could always get up out of bed.
Yeah.
You know, I always would count myself lucky. But I was always really anxious. Do you know what I mean? It was hard to, I would never have described things as sad, but I probably was, but it was more like
borderline, a baseline unhappiness running through.
Or just not getting joy out of anything, not getting excited about things. Yeah.
Yeah. I must say, no, I don't feel that in any way.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And I feel fear, you know? And I'm delighted.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, kind of, hopefully I have another maybe 30 years left to kind of enjoy things. So the family obviously see I'm different, I'm present. So like I don't disassociate as much. I'll still have, like, it's the medication will go so far. I still have moments where I'm not listening properly or not paying attention. Yeah. That's just normal, isn't it?
That's just being a father.
Or completely disassociating. And also, I'm probably a lot more help around the house where I can do a task, get it done, be more helpful to my wife and that, like, you know, just being present.
80% of the 20% of the time you're not making
love. Not making love, yeah. But chipping in around the house, getting stuff done, being more organized, doing stuff I say I'll do, not being just full of shit, like all talk, actually putting the bins out, actually bringing the bins in. You know, just lots of little things like that, but they really add up to sort of a more harmonious, less stressful kind of household, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, because they're the little niggling things. I know you and I both follow a thing called Fesshole on Twitter. And it's people, you know, sitting there confessing what's happening within their relationship. And it's my boyfriend is clipping his toenails, putting it into a mug, and then putting that into the dishwasher. That's probably the reason why we'll get divorced, type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and there's all these little niggling things within a relationship. But if you can just stop doing them, yeah, it's going to stop an awful lot more of the sort of the head on. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that?
And Mike, it permeates everything. So I was always terrible at sending invoices for work I've done, paying bills. Like I'm always in conversation with the tax man about catching up with how much I owe. Like I always pay. Yeah. Like I've never not paid the tax man, and I will always like declare everything, but it just takes like I'm just shit at it.
Yeah.
So it's always this prolonged, drawn out, you know. And Suzanne is always like, "Will you just fucking this year? Will you just make sure you've got everything sorted and you do it on time, so you're not charged more and you're not it doesn't become stressful, whatever."
So and that's funny because in our situation here, I'm always delighted when tax is done, when the bill is paid. And I do, and it's funny because I get a bit of a buzz almost. And I was just thinking about this during the week when I lived in Norwich. I used to go to this beautiful Barclays Bank every time I had a day off during the week. And it was an old converted cathedral, and they had a bank in there. It was vaulted ceilings. And I used to love going in there and paying off like the dog license and paying off the TV license and doing that. And I'd walk out and sort of like, I'll get myself a cup of tea now as a reward for that sort of thing. So that was my dopamine rush, if you like, was getting stuff sorted.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see that not doing that is because the fucking anxiety of when it does dawn on you, it's like, oh shit, but you know, I can't do that at the moment because I'm doing something else. And ding dang bong being like a pinball machine.
Yeah.
It must be fucking horrible.
And even if you had a day off to do things, it would take you like 2 hours to leave the house because you keep forgetting stuff. And then you'd get to the bank and you wouldn't have the documents you need. And then you can't pay it. So you just go back the next day off. And then it's just roll up. And you don't pay your road tax on time. And then you get caught for that. And then you're like, it's, you know, it's just constant kind of almost, it's constant chaos. Which, like a lot of it, I kind of managed. And you do develop systems whereby, you know, I have good times where I will pay stuff on time, and you know, like you do have moments of clarity. You will have days where you just get shit done, but they're very rare. And what you end up doing is trying to think, what the fuck did I do? Did I eat? What was the vitamins I took? What did I? How much exercise to have that day?
You're trying to recreate that.
Trying
buzz.
To recreate, it. Yeah. And it was all that stuff I was doing, like exercising.
I'm gonna run a marathon.
Veganism. Giving up booze. Like, I think the final straw for me was when I gave up drink and I didn't see a massive change in my life.
Yeah.
Like I was still unfocused, still lethargic, still tired.
Still anxious.
That was, for me, was like, it's got to be something else, you know?
I'm delighted. I'm absolutely delighted for you. I hope it works. You know, I hope everything kind of begins to get this even keel. And it's nice to know that after a year, you can almost reset yourself.
Mm.
Not that I didn't like the Keith before, you know. I thought it was fantastic. The randomness of you is part of the appeal, you know.
Mm.
But I think you'll always be a little bit random.
I think I'll always be a bit random. I like that I like that chaotic random energy. And I don't think that goes away. Like
No. It definitely doesn't. Because as you're talking to me, you're dusting the top of the mic shield, and then you were watching the guitar match while whoever was playing. Who won
Costa
that?
Rica. Costa Rica beat Japan 1-0. So
Wowzer.
So Germany think they're playing Spain tonight, so they kind of have to win anyway, but everyone expected Japan to get the 6 points and qualify after today's match, and they haven't done that, so they have to beat Spain to qualify, which they probably won't do. It's like I noticed with my son as well, who's ADHD, he'll be on the PlayStation, he'll be watching SpongeBob, and he'll be talking to a friend on the phone on video, like so
yeah.
That a lot of the chaotic stuff will always be there, I think. And I still,
you
know, like
that's an ability. That's what they call multitasking. That's what the young people call it. Yeah. So yeah, and that's a useful thing to have.
But also, I still like to be involved and, you know, have a variety. You know. But I do already kind of have a sense of doing things that you know, I'm genuinely interested in, rather than, geez, I think I better do this kind of thing because this might, you know, like a constant sort of like anxiety of not doing something because I might miss, you know, sort of in FOMO or.
Yeah. Did you have the constant fear of sort of, I need to get a hobby? Were you ever hobby obsessed?
No.
No, I'm not hobby obsessed. It's funny because I know people who are really into their hobbies, you know, and oh, I do this and I do that. And there's certain people I know who, you know, I think are on the spectrum that we're talking about who literally go from, okay, now I want to become a programmer. Now I want to become a show jumper. Now, and there's no rhyme or reason to the things that they want to do, but they want to get this hobby and then they become completely obsessed and nothing else will do. And that's their dopamine rush. That's their sort of hobby hopping, you know?
Yeah,
I always feel guilty that I don't really have a hobby.
I kind of get what you're saying, but I have lots of, I call them side hustles. So like my hobbies would have to make money in some way. Okay, do you know what I mean? Like I'd have to see, I'd have to have a monetary value. Like that's the way my brain seems to work. Like I did get into the gym big time and then I ended up going to college and studying to be a trainer. You know, I went so far down that rabbit hole that I ended up with a, you know, personal training license, like, which I never used, you know.
No, you're also a priest.
I'm also an ordained priest, you know, which I don't use. I don't practice. But so my hobbies would be things I like, and then I like to convert them into something I can make money off, you know.
Well, that's a good thing.
Which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Let that bit go.
I don't think, if I was into gardening, I'd have to like,
you'd become Dermot Gavin.
Yeah, like my garden would have to be a show garden that I could like put up on Instagram somehow.
With a lemon in it. It'd be just a huge 20-foot lemon.
Yeah.
Covered in with tinfoil on the inside.
No use to anybody. But Mike, have you to go? How long have you got?
No, I've got as much time as we have all. How much time have you got? Because I noticed actually, because yesterday you sort of penciled this in, and then are we still on for, and then blah. So you've obviously something. Have you graded your day into something today?
No. Today is kind of like just a nice kind of open. Nothing else to do after this, unless someone. I think there's a plan to go over to Kildare Village for a while, but I may opt out of that.
Yeah.
No, today is a very. My life is getting to a point where I'm having days where I don't feel the urgency or the need to do something, to achieve something, to accomplish something. It's like the. For me, there's always a guilt with sitting down, even in the evening, to watch something. There's a guilt with that, like I should be doing something else.
No, there's never a guilt in the evening. Oh no. I could never sit down in the afternoon and watch television. I find that very odd, where I could be doing something else.
Yeah. So now I'm much better at that. But how about you, Mike? What have you been up to?
I've been doing very little.
I have to close this blind because it's
blinding you.
blinding. Oh,
go on.
The word warehouse. I made it. This will tickle your bollocks. I never really thought about the word warehouse.
Oh, what the fuck is what?
You know, like a warehouse. You know.
Oh yeah.
A warehouse where stuff is kept and then moved on. But I never thought about the word warehouse. I just thought, oh, that's what it's called, warehouse. And then I was listening to something the other day and someone said something, oh yeah, and your warehouse. And they also use the word wares that you might sell at a market, you know, whatever your wares are.
Oh yeah.
I never associated the word wares, like selling your, like warehouses, obviously where you keep your stuff, your wares.
Yes.
That's why it's called a warehouse. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
I had never known that. I just thought it was a word. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, the etymology of some things.
I mean, now it's blatantly obvious.
Yeah, but I just thought it was a warehouse. Kind of, the word conjures in my mind just a big place to put stuff.
Yeah.
But you're putting your wares in
wares.
There. Yeah.
So that could be like a warehouse. If you're a fishmonger, it'll be fish. If you're a tailor, it'll be suits, you know. Yeah. So the warehouse. There you go. Anyway.
Wow. It's like somebody told me the other day, Friday, Black Friday, where that came from.
Yeah.
Any idea?
Because the shops were so busy.
No. Nope.
No idea.
It's where retailers the day of the year in America where retailers would go into the black for the first time.
Ah.
Not in the red.
Wow.
Yeah, it takes them 11 months almost to go into the black. And then they do the Thanksgiving and the Christmas season. It's where they make all their money.
That's where they make their money.
Yeah. So that's Black Friday. Yeah.
And I did see something on Twitter, which I must share, where the makers and crafters of Ireland are finding it difficult this year. And they feel like Christmas hasn't really started yet for a lot of them. And it seems people just aren't spending money. So it's...
That's a Black Friday issue. People spend money on Black Friday, realize that the deals aren't great. Mm. And then next week they'll all go, oh shit. And then you'll get your Cyber Mondays and whatever coming up.
And then
oh my God. And then it's last minute panicking. Okay. We're back to pre-pandemic
cycles.
Just order stuff and it'll turn up. But unfortunately you can't this year either because of shortages of this, that, and the other. It's a bit of a clusterfuck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you're right at the coal fest there, Mike.
Yeah, no, but it's been very steady for Sally Ann. It's been excellent. Stuff is going, you know, very, very well.
How do people order from bags from Sally Ann then?
Go on the website.
Just Sally Ann's bags, is it?
Yeah, you Google Sally Ann's bags. I don't know what the website is.
It's got to be Sally Ann's bags. I think we've given out before. But I'd say just Google Sally Ann's bags.
Yeah.
You'll find it. Or Nearly Sisters, if you want to get a nice...
there you go. Nice hamper. They do some phenomenal gear. And they've got their own warehouse, too.
They've got a warehouse with their wares.
With their wares in it, yeah.
And that's nearlysisters.ie. They basically specialize in personal and corporate gifting. And they champion makers, crafters, and artists and business throughout the country. It's all Irish, and it's all eco-friendly and environmentally friendly packaging and all that kind of stuff. So there you go.
Where else would you be going?
Where else would you be going?
Yeah. Between that and SallyAnnsBags.com or something like that.
SallyAnn's Bags.
I don't know.
Nearly Sisters. Yeah. Christmas literally sorted. Has Sally Ann got a knee?
No. All one word.
Ah. Sally Ann. Large messenger bag. She is on Totally Irish Gifts as well. Yeah, it's if you Google Sally Ann's handmade bags.
Yeah, you'll get it from there. You'll be directed to our website.
You'll be directed to the website. Very cool stuff. I really like it. Very stylish. I love the Volkswagen.
Our producer likes the old VW bags.
Yeah.
The combi van bags.
Very cool.
You're buying a lifestyle. Without buying a motorhome.
You're telling people who you are.
As you walk down the street with your motorhome bag, it looks like you own a motorhome. Wow, that person must own a Hymer. Wow, they're really good. You know, they must own a big Sprinter. Moho. Yeah.
Camper like Boho, is it? SallyAnnsBags.com.
There you go.
You can email Sally.
Sal's Handmade Bags at
Gmail. That's it. Yes, Sal's Handmade Bags at gmail.com.
There you go. See that?
I thought it was the wrong one there. So there you go. Yeah, Mike. Any news? Anything you want to promote? Anything you want to tell?
No, I want to give a shout out to Liam.
Liam. Yes,
I want to give a shout out to Liam. Is he your nephew?
He's my nephew. Yeah.
Yeah. Your nephew, Liam. Sends me some fantastic pictures. Keep sending the pictures, Liam, and I will keep giving you my somewhat kind of opinion about what you're sending me pictures of.
Opinion. It was
very good. He was sending me pictures of stuff that was just relighting my interest in birds and wildlife again.
Mm.
You know, we were talking about ash dieback, and we were talking about the bird that was sitting on it. It was a common bird, but they're no longer common. Lots of our common species are no longer common and stuff. And he has an eye for photography.
Mm. Big so photography.
Yeah, so does Irish MJ. You know Irish MJ? He's a photography guy. Yeah, he's out and about at the moment as well. He's in London taking some fantastic snaps, along with some other OGs. Sabrina got married. Sabrina Perry. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Went to Disneyland Paris. Pictures of the Eiffel Tower in Champagne. It's all gone like supernova. Yeah.
Wow.
Living the Vida Loca.
Literally. It's nice to catch up on our OGs, Mike, yeah. After so long.
There's a lot of them. Sinead O'Dea up there in Big Donegal is having a ball. She put me on to the Night of the Daniels. I don't know if anybody's seen the Night of the Daniels. Did we discuss the Night of the Daniels?
We haven't discussed the Night of the Daniels, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. There's a horror movie that comes out. I think Daniel O'Donnell is doing it every year. Oh, fuck me. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
So it's like an Irish-made horror movie.
It's like Thriller, the Thriller the video, but with Daniels in it. Waxwork Daniels. Fantastic.
Check it out. Night of the Daniels.
Yeah.
Check it out. What's it all about?
I've been watching a lot of TV. Go on. You need to mention
the podcast that I listened to with Adrian Childs.
Oh, yeah, James O'Brien and Adrian Childs. He is you. I was just listening to it. Think the first 15 minutes, it was like listening to you. I thought, oh, fuck me. What a parallel universe. Then they went a bit Christian, but in a negative way. But yeah, I just thought it was very, very good.
James O'Brien. Is James O'Brien a regular mass goer? Did I pick that up or was that just...
Yes, he is a Catholic. It's one of the big things I do not like about him.
Yeah.
That's terrible, really. But he's so on point about most things.
Mm.
But he can't see a negative side to something. And his whole raison d'etre is don't be gaslit by things.
Lift
the lid, turn it upside down and backwards and have a look through it. And he doesn't really do that with the church. He's a big church goer. Yeah.
And Adrian Childs. And I know he's friends with Frank Skinner, who I'm a big fan of, but also a big church goer. I think he might be church. Oh, no, he is Church of Ireland. He is Irish Catholic, sorry. But Adrian Childs, very interesting chat with James O'Brien. What's the name of that podcast again?
It is on something. Full Disclosure.
Full Disclosure. It's interesting. Interesting to chat about ADHD and his career and him working on
radio
television.
It was just you written all over it. And I got this diagnosis, apart from his accent, obviously. And it was like listening to you. It was brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. I thought it was a breath of fresh air. I'm listening to The Truth.
Oh yeah,
podcast. Every minute I have of the day is listening to The Truth.
And did we talk about The Truth before, Mike?
We did. It's little 15-minute stories, and they're just makey uppy stories. But I mean, one the other day was a can of Coke, who. His body and soul was the can and the Coke. And he was talking to the person who was just about to drink him. And it was the perspective of a can of Coke. It's just like, wow.
Wow.
And then he ultimately dies because he gets ingested. But what happens to his body? You know, I could have been, you know, I could have been a part of an aircraft before. You know, it gives all these kind of philosophical questions to things. And I think there's another podcast now that's come off the back of that called The Life of Things.
Oh, wow.
Where they do stuff based on inanimate objects. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I love that. I love a bit of James O'Brien, Full Disclosure. Some of the guests I can take, some of the guests I can leave, but I'm a bit of a completist. So I listen to them all.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I pick and choose.
You know, I found that when I did the whole of Desert Island Discs, in excess of 2,000 episodes, I picked and chose bits, but I found the people that were on the face of it really interesting, not interesting at all.
Done as far.
People I liked, but it was, you know, it's some fella who, some physicist who did something, you know, and it's just their life story, how they got to that moment. You know, you might not be interested in how they got a Nobel Peace Prize, but, you know, they're born, you know, paddling up a canoe somewhere. And it's just like, fuck me, how did they get to this stage? You know, and that's the thing. And they do it through music. So it's really kind of nice. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I'd always be wary of picking and choosing podcasts.
You're right. Well,
I
wouldn't pick them and choose them necessarily because of, like, if I didn't know them, I wouldn't listen. I'd be more likely to listen if I don't know them. I just wouldn't necessarily listen to a John Cleese podcast, even though, I mean, I used to love John Cleese as a kid.
He was very, very good on James O'Brien.
And listen to it.
Yeah, and he redeemed himself, and now he's gone to GB News.
Now he's gone.
Fuck's sake.
After all that.
Yeah, after saying that Brexit was really bad and immigration is really good, now he's on this, like, racist television. It's like Fox News, and they're popping up all over the place in England. Do you ever watch GB News or...
No.
Now TV or whatever it's called. Oh, it is again, to take yourself out of the echo chamber, you watch some of these programs and it is undiluted shite.
But nobody's watching these things, are they, Mike?
Well, it only takes a few people.
Yeah, I suppose.
They keep going. They're not going to stop.
Who's funding it, though? That's the problem.
Murdoch. Yeah. Murdoch is Now TV, I think. It's not Now TV. It's he is Now TV, but it's the other thing is one of the stations is his GB News. I don't know who owns it. I mean, you know, we didn't even get on to our man Elon.
No.
Twitter, and everybody's leaving Twitter, and now they're not leaving Twitter, and it was all a storm and a teacup, and we're all going to Mastodon, but nobody knows how to use Mastodon, and I'm over here, but nobody's over there. Yeah, it's a pile of old shit. Twitter's very good, I think, but he's making a balls of it.
He is, but it's fine. Like, I bought newspapers all my life up until about 10 years ago. I never knew who where the money was coming from behind those newspapers. I'm not terribly interested in Elon Musk and his life. I enjoy Twitter. You know.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
if it's gone, it's gone. I found it
kind of overwhelming recently that we're being told with Qatar and Elon Musk and this, that, and the other, and Facebook and whatever, that we're being told to hate everybody's opinion.
I think the problem is when the left become very right-wing about their views, and that's when cancel culture gets out of hand, and you know you're just completely missing the sort of the point of you know, somebody learning something new, meeting somebody new, realizing the errors of their ways, changing their ways, and becoming a better part of society, which is what life is all about.
Yeah.
And certainly I'm when I think back at some of the things I would have said on radio a few years ago, I'm like, you know, I've been mortified. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've had the space and time to learn to be better and do better. And that's life. So I don't get, you know, I just don't get that.
No, but
I don't get black and white, you know.
No, and I think the controversy about the Wales team and the English team not wearing the rainbow armbands, I think the shitstorm that everybody talked about it for 24 hours did more for the cause than them wearing the armbands.
Totally.
If you'd simply gone on, passively worn a little armband, somebody might have gone, oh, and there's our guy there wearing an armband. Great. But the non-stop, why the fuck aren't they wearing it? Who they are? Is because they get a yellow card? Is it because they get a fine? Is it because they get this? They get that? And it's just the stupidity of the whole thing shines brighter than anything else, you know. And why are they doing it? Because the Qataris don't like, oh, for fuck's sake, lads, you know.
But Mike, the great thing about it is it means that my son, who loves football, is aware of this conversation, and we're having a conversation about it.
Brilliant.
And that's
add fuel to that fire, not the gaslighting of the stuff that people, you know, FIFA coming out and sort of saying, lads, we just want everyone to concentrate.
Can we just look
over there?
Just look. Watch
there's
the
David Beckham.
David Beckham.
He's put everything. He's gone. Fuck, you know, taken 10 million off the thing. And I don't know if you've seen the Joe Lycett situation as well. Yeah. Brilliant. You know, burning 10 grand, and you know he didn't. He gave it to a food bank. But you know, it was just again these stunts are publicity stunts. And the more they do for the cause, the better. The more we talk about things, the better.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And Dave Beckham is, I would say, allowed to make a mistake. And he did make a mistake. And let's see if he can wrong a right or wrong.
Yeah, you never know what he's going to do with that money. Yeah. Didn't he buy Posh's single once? He bought a shitload of it so that it would chart. Maybe he'll do that again.
If he puts that money, if he puts that 10 million to good use and gets Posh to number one for Christmas, I think that will have been money well spent.
Yeah. Her version of Here It Is, Merry Christmas.
Totally.
It's get on Christmas. That. Yeah, yeah. And we get Sporty Spice behind her doing like fly kicks.
Oh, all right, David. All right, Posh.
We haven't done Check It Out, and I suggest we leave it till the next time, and I suggest we put it in our diaries.
Did a little bit of Check It Out, but we'll put it in our diaries, because I need to ask you about Andor, which I haven't watched yet.
Oh, yes. Get on that train.
And I've started rewatching Breaking Bad after I watched Better Call Saul, and...
Interesting.
Yeah, finish.
I thought Better Call Saul for a finish was better than Breaking Bad.
Well, I didn't really... I started Breaking Bad a few times and I never got past a certain point. So now I'm watching all the ones I missed out on. Now I'm seeing the Chicken Man, Mike,
yes,
all these characters who I know from Better Call Saul are entering.
Los Pollos Hermanos.
And I'm trying to put the timeline of the two series together.
Yeah.
And the twins that come up from Mexico to kill everybody. I'm slightly confused, but I'm sure it's mad.
Kind of makes sense, yeah.
Mm.
In a way, Better Call Saul muddied the waters because it kind of gave, it had to use a time frame. It was kind of intricately woven into an already written story.
Yeah, it had to match up with that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that it kind of fucks it up a little bit. But yeah, it's brilliant. They're both brilliant. Andor, though, as a backstory or whatever they call it, origin story, it's really good. Strong Irish actor in there as well that plays his mother. Or the mother. I don't know if she's not his mother because they've got different accents, but she's brilliant. She's been in lots of things. She was in, I can't remember what her name is. She was in Missing, I think.
And is she a very well-known Irish actor?
She's one of those Irish actors that's always been
around
there.
Working.
Yeah, character-y actor. Tall, very posh lady. Very D4.
Oh, I was actually going to say, is it Fiona Shaw?
Yeah.
I was going to guess Fiona Shaw. And it's Fiona Shaw.
She's one of these people I don't know anything about, but I've seen her in loads of things and she's always brilliant.
Yeah. And Genevieve O'Reilly is in it as well. Another younger Irish actor.
But Andor is fantastic. Your man who... Andy Serkis? Is it Serkis? He played My Precious. He's in it.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it only gets good. We thought, myself and Jimmy, thought it had finished at number 8.
Yeah.
And he came down a couple of weeks ago and said, "You idiot. It's still there's 11 or 12 of them or whatever. And we haven't watched them or we haven't catched up." I was like, all right, okay, we're going to get into this. And it just gets better and better and better.
Loved that he came down and said, "You idiot."
He does call me an idiot. Quite like. He's quite right, though. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Same.
Very handsome idiot.
Exactly. There's an article in the Irish Examiner. There's three Irish actors, female actors, Denise Goff, Genevieve O'Reilly, Fiona Shaw, in Andor.
I'm just going to Google who Fiona Shaw is. Fiona Shaw, is she the one I'm talking about?
She's like a national treasure sort of territory.
Yes. Actor. Yes. Yeah.
I have
the last thing I saw her in, she was in a wheelchair.
Is that her?
Yes, that's her.
Great actor.
She was in a wheelchair with a French detective who was in a series called The Missing.
Okay.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Mike, we'll an hour
check
and
it
half.
Out next time. Okay, we'll check it out next time. This is like a bumper Christmas bonus, but it's not because it won't be out at Christmas time because it's going to be out tomorrow, I'd say.
Be out straight away, Mike. Be out straight away.
Wow. We don't know that, though.
No promises. We don't know anything. And it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. I'm not putting any pressure on you. And as if, here's Charlie.
There's Charlie. Hello, Charlie. How are you?
Even Charlie's a lot calmer these days.
Yeah. Just coming in to sit in his cushion.
So listen, be well. Yeah. And I'm delighted.
Great to talk to you, Mike.
Great to talk to you. I miss talking to you.
Well, we should do this more often. I should try and be more consistent.
Yes, we also need to organize a little meal or something with Bergelferk.
So he was saying January Or the weird time between Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, that's a silly thing to suggest.
We could meet somewhere between the two places for a luncheon. Yeah. A luncheon.
It makes more sense for me to head up to your neck of the woods.
Yeah, but we could drive to... He said Limerick. Maybe somewhere outside Limerick or whatever. Whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll find the exact middle spot. Horse yes. and Jockey. Oh, that's the other way. Tipperary.
I don't know what the fuck Horse and Jockey is anyway. Yeah.
There's a town called Horse and Jockey.
Oh, is there? Yeah.
We'll figure that out. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss you. And I look forward to our chats.
Mike, we're putting the play on in January in the Riverbank. Two nights.
Oh, wow. Yours?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Mm.
Is it extended at all?
For two nights only.
Okay.
No, it's the same. Haven't written anything new about it. Haven't changed it. It's just as it was.
You should do an epilogue.
Yeah, or I might write something else, Mike.
Maybe I'll come up and interview you on stage and say, listen, following that, what have you found out about yourself?
Yeah.
I'd be shitting myself to go on stage. I have anxiety about it already.
That's not free-floating anxiety. That's proper anxiety.
Yeah, proper pooping myself.
We'll talk soon.
Okay. Love you.
I love you too, Mike.
I don't think you do.
I really like you.
Yeah. That's not love. Okay. Miss you.
Bye. See you, Mike.
Thank you for listening. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.